I want to welcome you to this space of time for resurrection and understanding of why we're here. This week has been a little bit different for many of you, and for myself included. And I've been waiting and searching the heart of the Lord to obey Him. And I had a vision of what you're seeing right now. I had it a couple of days ago, and I did my utmost to make sure that it happens. Why? Because God wants to make an impression upon us. He wants to shatter who we are and recreate us in His image. Now, the book of Revelations is where I want to take you for a moment and give you two scriptures. Actually, I'm going to give you three. Forgive me. Could you snap on the big light? I want them to see this. I don't want them to just experience a little bit of it. I want you to taste. Revelations chapter 7, verse 9. Revelations chapter 7, verse 9. Now, the book of Revelations is designed to show us what happens to Christ Jesus as He goes through the years that are anointed of God until His return. That's the purpose. Many people think that the book of Revelations is only for when He returns. No, it's as He is preparing His people to return. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. That's not what happened on Palm Sunday, or last Sunday, or last year, or last century, or last millennium, and two millenniums back. It's the future. Revelations 15, verse 3. Revelations 15, verse 3. And sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the sons, and the song of the Lamb. The song of the Lamb. Now you say, why all this pressure on the Lamb? I want you to see Revelation 21. Verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Did you hear that? The Lord God and the Lamb are its temple. You say, why is it so important for us to understand the Lamb? Well, for me to understand a Lamb, in my personal life, came when I was very young. My dad was a butcher by trade. He was brought up by my biological dad, who became a butcher because during the Depression, there was one way to survive, and that was to allow his farming to increase by butchering some of his own animals. So they did it in another area of the barn. And when I was a little boy, you could visit the area of the barn that was what you could call the slaughterhouse, and you could walk up on the other level where the animals were kept, and the horses and the chickens and all the stuff that you see on a farm. And one day, after we had left Canada, we were living in Vermont, and my dad was working for another farmer, And my dad had a visitor at the door. And that man had heard that my dad had actually done a couple of animals. He had slaughtered a couple of animals for the farmer that he worked for on his day off. And this neighbor had heard about it, so he said, Paul, would you be able to come to my farm next Saturday if you're free? And I have several lambs that I need to have killed. Now, I didn't hear the question. All I remember is the response. Because by that time, I was nine and a half, somewhere in there. And I remember my dad closing the door gently after the gentleman left, and he comes into the kitchen and he says to my mother, I refused work. And she said, what do you mean you refused work? He said, I only killed one lamb in all my life. I cried so much that I'll never do it again. And my mother and myself both looked at him. We had no awareness that he had had this experience when he was like a teenager. And he says, I can't. I can't do it. I will never do this as long as I live. I can't. And I remember being very inquisitive. I was very nosy as a kid. I said, Dad, why? And this is what he said to me. He says, all the other animals in the animal kingdom, when you slaughter them, they're aware and they fight back. Even if they're blindfolded and he's killed bulls, he's killed all kinds of wild game and so on and so forth. He says, they all resist and run from the man who is going to kill them. The lamb doesn't resist. The lamb doesn't move. He sits and he waits for the knife. Now, I had no knowledge that this lamb was going to be brought here today. But I know what God's been working on me for all week. I want you to just bow your heads. I want you to listen. Preferably, if you can keep your eyes closed, you might get a little tiny idea of why we're here this morning. When the Passover feast was put into a reality, you will find that in Exodus chapter 12, don't write it down unless you're just going to write Exodus 12, because I want you to read it later. We're going to discuss that a little bit later. But I want you to be aware of what happened at the instructions of Moses. The very first thing they had to do, every family had to prepare their home. Number one, they had to take a lamb into the house for 4 days. It had to be a lamb without any defects. 4 days, no defects. They had to hang a tag on it. I want you to kind of take a peek now. Notice that this one has a little tag on it. I didn't have anything to do with the lamb. I didn't bring it. I didn't tag it. But the tag on that lamb says, applause. Now I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit out of the ordinary. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I want you to applause the lamb. Declare it. I'm going to applause for the lamb. I'm going to shout for the lamb, because the Lamb of God did not resist to be killed. He stood and he stayed and he obeyed. Number one again, they had to take a lamb into the house for 4 days, and the children had to take care of it and put up sign around that lamb representing their family name. Now, every household had to have a lamb with a plaque on it, or a tag on it, or a sign across its chest that said, this is the Chica lamb. This is the Bergeron lamb. Are you catching on? And it ran around the house. And it probably ruled the kids. And probably drove mom and dad crazy. Come on. Why? Because unless you come to the Lord as a child with an open heart, you're going to find all kinds of things about the lamb. The lamb was examined by the children. If there's a flaw in an animal, give it to a child, he'll find it. Give it to an adult and he'll push it away because he might look at what the lamb has done. Like the little drop of problem here in this corner and another little problem in another corner. But the children won't see the problem. The adults in the kingdom of God find problems and difficulties and faults constantly. Because what? They're trained in fault finding. By whom? By the critic. His name is Satan, in case you forgot. He's the accuser. So get rid of your accusing tongue and start looking for the flawless one. They had to hang that placard with the family name and put it around his neck. An ID card. Next, number three. The lamb was killed by the father as a sacrifice. And that reminded me of my dad who couldn't do it because he had did it once. And this had to be done every single year. The first time they did it was in Egypt. The first time they took the lamb's blood, they put it on the doorpost. Meaning a whole house was protected under the blood. Then, number four, they had to roast it with fire on a wooden stake and put it in the house and look at it with its belly not cut. And none of its bones to be broken. My dad, as he explained to me, because I was so nosy, said, son, when I killed that lamb, he laid his head on my lap and he didn't budge and I couldn't cut him until I actually forced myself because my dad was in back of me telling me, get it over with. Now, the fifth thing that was required, according to the traditions of the Jewish families, was to open it up after it was roasted on an open fire. They had to open it up and wrap all of its guts over its head. And this caused all the family to start crying. The children would weep because they were attached to the lamb. They had seen him frolic around the house and get into mischief and get mom all riled up because there might be a few little things left over in the corners. And I believe that every child had a chance to have them in their bed, at least for a little while, and hug him and love him. You see, the lamb that was slain is represented by this little animal today. So that we can understand why Jesus walked around Israel for 3.5 years and the people fell in love with him. They walked and followed him wherever he went to get healed, to get delivered, and to get fed. And when the adults, the so-called wise people in the city of Jerusalem, were convinced that they couldn't stop him, they said, "We'll get rid of him." And he did not resist. And then when they put him on a stake, a large piece of wood, they hung him there, and the political leader put a sign over his head. "This is the king of..." So every single father of a Jewish family would be aware. "My God, this is the Lamb of God. My God, this is the one that's been giving us so much love, setting our people free, releasing us from our infirmities, giving us a new hope in the future that we can be men and women of God. It's not the Roman army that's our enemy. It's the negative forces that operate around us and try to control us and use us." And he didn't resist. He did not resist. Yet, when the political leaders and the priesthood of that day saw that sign on top of the cross, they got angry. Why? Because it said, "This is the King of the Jews." And when they went to the king of the Roman leadership, he said, "What I have written, I have written. Leave it alone." So you see, we sometimes think that the country of Israel and all of its people had no idea what was going on. Yes, there were some that didn't. But a good majority knew, because it was Passover. Any other season where a lamb was slaughtered might not have had such an impact. But every family was aware, because every year we have to find a lamb. And every family did it. And every father at one time was a boy that slept with that lamb. Every mother was a little girl that had a love affair with that lamb. Maybe it was their year, and they remembered the impact of the first year that Mama said, "This year, it's your turn. You can take the baby lamb, and you can sleep with him, Lynn. That's okay. You can sleep with him tonight. And cuddle with him when you wake up." See, Israel and its people had fallen in love with the healer. They had fallen in love with their healing. And now, they were focused on their king that was killed for the sake of a few, not knowing that it was really for our benefit. Why do we honor the Lamb? Why will we continue to honor the Lamb? Because he took our sins away. He took our infirmities when he was whipped. He took everything that we couldn't handle, including the torment. How many have ever had a problem with a sleepless night? Your mind just going cuckoo. I remind you, they put a crown of thorns on his head, puncturing the place of the skull. They even crucified him on Golgotha, which is called the place of the skull. So you see, There's a purpose in why this lamb is here. There's a purpose that he was brought. There's a purpose he has a tag. There's a purpose we applaud. We applaud because he did what we couldn't do to give us back what we had lost. Adam and Eve failed, but Jesus did not fail. Agreed?
Yeah.
Now you say, what does it have to do with me? How does that relate to my resurrection Sunday? It's going to be up to you. You see, when you go to that communion table, which is really the season where we commemorate the Passover feast, it's going to be up to you. Can you receive his body and his blood? Can you receive what he's done for you as a gift? It's going to be up to you. What I'd like you to do now is to kind of reflect on what I've given you. And if you could put that next song on, please. We're going to prepare the elements. Father, I lift up this bread and I declare it to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. As he was broken for me, I ask that you would continue, Father, to release healing to those who are with me. Whether in this building or over the air, on the internet, in the heavenlies, and even below our very feet, let there be a notice that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I lift up the cup of salvation, his precious blood, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to continue the cleansing, not to give up. For he began a good work and he will complete it for his glory. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to kind of take you a little bit into that word that I gave you earlier. So if you want to take your Bible this moment, and we're going to take a peek at the Passover, just very briefly, to kind of give you a couple of hints that might help you. It's Exodus 12, and then we're going to jump into the New Testament. It's not going to take very long. But I believe what it'll do is it will cement the word into your heart so that you'll have a little better understanding of why God takes his time with things. Verse 1 says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family. One for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. There goes your prejudice, right? What if they're a different color? What if they're coming from a different nationality? Having taken into the account the number of people that there are, you are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animal you choose must be a year old male without defects, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. So that means to me that some of them are going to be a little stubborn. How many have ever met a few stubborn Christians? Thank you. At least you know they're acceptable. Okay. Of course, I don't know if any of you qualify for that, but I visited there a few times. Okay? Now, take care of them until the 14th day. They take the lamb in on the 10th. They take care of it on the 14th day. So that's how many days? 4 days. How many years was it between the time that Adam fell and Jesus went on that cross? 4,000 years. 4 days? 4,000 years. Get a clue. When all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight, they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides of the tops of the door frames of the house where they eat the lamb. That same night they are to eat meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs, bread without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire. Head, legs, inner parts, etc. Do not leave any of it until morning. And if some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat, and he gives them instructions on how to go forward with the next level. Okay? Now, I want you to come with me, because I want you to see a little bit deeper into when Jesus was now after the resurrection. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 1. This is after Jesus has been crucified. This is after he has been in the tomb 3 days. And on the first day after the Sabbath. So verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Why did he sit? Kind of an odd position to just sit there. For what? Open the door and sit. Why would you think the angel is sitting? Come on, give me your opinion.
Waiting.
Waiting, yes. Resting. He's not all bent out of shape, is he? Okay. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Ah. Now that tells you why he's sitting, because he's not going anywhere. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Now, notice his commission from the Father to the girls. Isn't it sweet the girls are being chosen to be a little bit more than the guys today? Did you get it yet, guys? The girls, first on the job, up early, before breakfast. They didn't even make breakfast for the guys. Guess the guys had to shift for themselves. Why? Well, us, we kind of have a little problem with believing sometimes. Okay? Now, gave them instructions, didn't they? He tells them what they are hoping, but he also gives them a tour. Women, we know you're nosy for a reason. He gives them a guided tour. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. They're also going to talk. Women have a very good capacity to speak. They also sometimes speak. What? Sometimes they speak too much? Nah, that's the women's opinion. Us guys think you guys are perfect.
Yeah.
We said, we think.
Yeah.
And then we sit back and we wonder, how long is it going to continue? Amen? Now notice the good news. He has risen from the dead. He's telling them what to say. And is going ahead of you into Galilee. Now there you will see him. Oh, whoa. Now I have told you. So his commission is to release information. And he's done. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. They're afraid yet filled with joy. They ran to tell his disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings! Oh, I thought he was going to be in Galilee. No, he's going to give them a what? A sample of what's to come. Isn't that cool? Greetings, he said, and they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. There they will
see me.
Okay. I want to rest there for a moment. Do you think the instructions have changed? Is Jesus able to reveal himself today to you on an appointed time slot in a special place where he tells you? Is he able to tell this to a woman to tell to you, men? Are you able to listen to the women that have words of knowledge? Come on. Stop grunting, guys. If these girls have a word of knowledge for you, you better swallow. If God has spoken to them about an appointment for you to meet with him in a special place, you better listen. Why? God uses women. Religion sometimes doesn't. But God has no problems sending an angel to a woman. Why are we lifting up the ladies today? Because it's their time to resurrect.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Wait a minute. How many hallelujahs should we be hearing?
Oh, oh, oh. Hallelujah.
Well, will you please? Come on, applaud. Yay! Time for the women to rise.
Amen.
Come on, guys. When the women are active, you guys are going to be what?
Deactive.
Yes, deactive. Thank you. Verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. Guess what? It's not only women that can gossip, it's guys too. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money. Soldiers can receive large sums. Telling them, you are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while they were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. How many know bribes are nothing new? Even in government. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So the soldiers took the money, did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Watch verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. He gave them a time and a place.
Amen.
When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Some doubted. I've got news for you. Some women doubted. Get rid of it. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." To the very end of the age. To the very end of the age. To the very end of the age.
Hallelujah.
To the very end of the age.
Hallelujah.
He's still here.
Hallelujah.
He loves you.
Woo.
He's resurrected.
Yeah.
He's full of light.
Yeah.
Inside of you.
Amen.
Would you stand, please? Lord Jesus, this word that you gave has to go inside our hearts, because you see, if it's just hearing and no action takes place, then we've wasted all this time. So would you put your hand over your heart, please? Say, "Lord Jesus, let this word come alive in me today.
Lord Jesus, let this word come alive in me today.
And if someone comes to me with an appointment,
where you will meet with me,
so that you can reveal yourself to me,
so that I can see you,
and hear you,
and hear the word that you have given,
that the good news is for now,
that those who I speak to,
at some point,
will be baptized
in the name of the Father,
and of the
Son,
and of the Holy Ghost,
and be transformed,
and be changed
into his likeness." He did not come out of the grave just for himself. I've got lots of people that I love that may have entered the grave already.
But there's a resurrection coming.
And when those angels come
and roll back the stone,
I'll get the news,
and I'll see
the resurrection.
In those that I love,
and in those that know him,
because he's the resurrection,
and he's full of life,
just for me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.